This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. That's right, we're going to continue our NFL news and notes conversation. We are continuing a recap of Super Bowl 51 with Steve Bortstein from Fox Sports. So as we do a recap of Super Bowl 51, let me ask you this, Steve. I mean, are the Patriots, are they that good, or did the Falcons, did they choke? What's your definition of a choke?
Definition of a choke is a team that gives away a 25-point lead. But we've seen teams, you know, fold in the fourth quarter after like a four-touchdown lead. They don't lose the game. You know, they just give up a couple of late touchdowns. Instead of a 20-point win, they win by seven. Okay, that's kind of a choke. But in order for this to happen, it has to be a collapse of epic proportion and the comeback of epic proportion. You can't have one without the other. So to dismiss it simply as a choke takes away from what New England did. And to dismiss it simply as the greatest comeback, then you have to sort of forget that Atlanta had this big lead and blew it. So it's a combination of both. And the only, as far as them, you know, their standing and what have you, the only thing I know is this. There is no more discussion. There's no more who belongs on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. This conversation is over because Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever to play the game. And it's indicated by four Super Bowl MVP trophies and the fact that his MVP, really, other than Tom Brady being the official MVP of the game, was a guy named James White. I don't think there's any discussion anymore about the greatest quarterback thing. You can tell me all you want about Joe Montana. You can tell me all you want about John Elway. Name your quarterback. It doesn't matter. This conversation ended when he completes passes in Super Bowls to guys named Shane Vereen, Danny Woodhead, and James White, and they're contributing in Super Bowls. And these are guys who are not supposed to be MVP-type performances in Super Bowls.
Okay, just out of curiosity, I mean, what was your pick going into that game? And as we step back, we digest, you know, what really took place. What do you think you learned from that?
I always thought New England was going to win. And what I always take away from whenever I watch New England play is, in this day and age of dynasties, this is probably the greatest dynasty ever because these are not household names. You expect Atlanta to put up the points they did. They have Julio Jones. They have Matt Ryan. They have guys who are banking millions and millions of dollars. They have high contract guys. Again, James White won a Super Bowl for the New England Patriots. James White, Martellus Bennett. My. This was a team that was decimated by injuries and guys who were cast off. You know, the Chris Hogan. These are the guys who are winning Super Bowls. In this day and age of dynasties, this may be the single greatest one ever because it's done with guys who are just regular athletes. They're regular football players. They're not multimillionaire guys. And we've seen it before. We've seen it from Bill Belichick. We've seen it from Bob Kraft. If you don't fit that profile, and if you are a guy who's going to demand a lot of money, and if you're a guy who's going to hold out on contracts, you're gone because they don't need those guys. They're going to make do with the talent they have on that roster. They're going to find the next, you know, they always hear that term, next man up. And that is the personification of New England.
You ever seen a team make an in-game adjustment like the Patriots and really make such a massive turnaround? What do you think was the key adjustment, Steve?
I think the key adjustment was fixing the offensive line in the second half because clearly, you know, they were, I mean, Tom Brady was getting beat up like a pincushion in the first half. And then in the second half, he found time. And I think it was more of this decision, okay, the running game's not working. Let's just abandon that completely. And by the time they got to the second half and they went down 28-3, I think it was just, okay, protect Brady. I mean, he threw 62 passes in that game. And that I think that's the adjustment right there, was the commitment to better blocking schemes, the commitment to more crossing routes, which obviously, you know, kept Atlanta's defense on the field. And I think that was also key, was instead of going for these 30, 40-yard pass routes, these deep routes, we're just going to beat you over the middle. We're going to beat you with short routes. We're going to keep your defense on the field. And essentially, we're just going to keep you out there and tire you out. And I also think, and this is no fault of the Atlanta Falcons, I do think that there's a little bit of validity to the claim that when the Atlanta offense wasn't on the field for over an hour, remember, New England had that drive at the end of the first half.
Right.
And then they had the Lady Gaga concert, which went on forever. And then you have the second half. If New England starts off with the, you know, Atlanta doesn't do much on their first drive, I think they were out of sorts a little bit. Now, they did score a touchdown. They got back into sorts. But I think if that Atlanta Falcons second half first drive, if they had gotten the touchdown on that drive or at least a field goal on that drive, I think then things would have been really, really bad for New England at that point. But I think they felt like, okay, we've had some time off. They're a little bit rusty right now. Take advantage of this when you can.
Hey, Steve Bortstein is with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You know, we talk so much about the New England Patriots winning it all, Super Bowl 51. But let's zero in and talk some more about the Falcons and their quarterback in Matt Ryan. He is named the MVP of the NFL. But the Falcons, what I'm hearing is that they're saying they want to pay him more money. What do you think? Do you think that's a good idea? Do they need to give, you know, the quarterback, Matt Ryan, some more money?
Considering what's out there, yes. I mean, the unknown factor is not something that I think they want to go to right now. You know, I mean, you go with an unknown Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you go with an unknown, you know, any quarterback? Name any quarterback on any team. Or do you go with an unknown Trevor Siemian or a Paxton Lynch? I think a lot of people are jaded by the success we saw from Dak Prescott in Dallas, that any rookie can just come on in and take over a team. And that doesn't work that way. More often than not, they wind up being Jared Goff with the Rams. What a disastrous rookie campaign. So I don't think you want to go that direction. And Matt Ryan's earned it. I mean, he had a phenomenal, season. He was protected by a good offensive line. And that's a good football team. And they can still win that division, that NFC South, with the exception of Carolina, who I do believe will bounce back a little bit next year. But that NFC South is a division in flux. Tampa Bay is still kind of building, I think, right now. New Orleans, I think they've jumped the shark a little bit. I mean, Drew Brees isn't getting any younger, so I don't really see much from them. So I think Atlanta is in a very good position to once again dominate perhaps in that NFC South. So why mess with a good thing? And again, that goes to the Steve Sarkisian thing. It would be one thing if Steve Sarkisian was coming in and, here, we're going to throw you a brand-new quarterback. Then Steve Sarkisian, if he isn't hitting the bottle by that point, I don't know what would do it for him. But I think you keep Matt Ryan simply just for the continuation factor, just to keep a regular steady rhythm there with that offense.
You know, I think back a year ago, what they were 8-8, and I want to talk to you about this, Steve. I mean, how were they able to make such an incredible turnaround in 2016?
They picked up a couple of good offensive linemen. They were very fortunate to pick up some strong offensive line help. I think that was an issue. I think Carolina falling apart the way they did. Atlanta committing themselves to their offensive line. I think Arizona falling apart the way they did. No one expected, I think, them to have the poor season they had. And Atlanta took advantage of a system that worked for them, and things just fell into place. Plus, when you've got a receiving core, forget Julio Jones for a second. You have Austin Cooper, who really came on the second half of the season for the Falcons in the tight end position. Mohamed Sanu, again, the running back combination. All that talk we had a couple of years ago, well, the running backs really don't matter anymore. Really? Tell that to Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman, who had a phenomenal year, I mean, this past season. Obviously, the running game is still very vital, and I think the running game is very important. Running backs matter, and I know that, you know, we had that whole thing about, well, the running backs are being more phased out for these more high-tempo, up-tempo offenses. But you still need that running game. Even just for play-action purposes, you need to have talented running backs who are going to at least, you know, make defenses honest against the run or the pass.
The host of First Sports, you can check him out, Fox Sports 1340 AM. Steve Bortstein has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Some great stuff, a very nice recap of Super Bowl 51. Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate you.
My pleasure, anytime.
You bet. Much more come your way in hour number two at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.